Vandaag zie jullie deel 1 van mijn interview met David Icke. En het is het begin van de laatste twee afleveringen van de Augustus Road Trip. En het heeft heel veel met mij gedaan. Het heeft mij enorm geïnspireerd. En ik ben zo dankbaar dat we deze roadtrip hebben kunnen doen dankzij jullie. Dankzij jullie support, dankzij jullie financiële steun. Maar ik moet er natuurlijk wel weer bij zeggen dat, waarschijnlijk zag je het ook wel, waar we allemaal geweest zijn, dat we natuurlijk zwaar over budget zijn gegaan. En we vinden het geld wel weer ergens. Maar ik wilde toch nog even een oproep doen van als jullie het gewaardeerd hebben, als jullie het mooi hebben gevonden en als jullie kunnen voor wat financiële support voor ons, ook omdat we verder moeten gaan. We beginnen nu straks in september aan jaar 6 van de Jensen Show. 6 jaar. Het 6e jaar gaan we in. Dat betekent al 5 jaar onafhankelijk, wat ongelooflijk is. En wat ook de enige manier is om echt de waarheid te kunnen blijven spreken anno 2024. En de vraag is hoe lang je dat nog kan. Maar we willen doorgaan tot het bittere eind. En daar hebben we natuurlijk financiële support voor nodig. Dus ik doe nog even een oproep. Als jullie kunnen steunen, mijn dank is groot. Als jullie waardering hebben voor wat we doen. Het is geweldig en dan gaan we ook zo door. Want zonder subsidies, zonder mediebedrijven, zonder adverteerders achter ons. Want die corrumperen je gewoon. En dat weet je. Onafhankelijk dankzij support van jullie, de Jensen Show. Hier is deel 1 van David Icke.
Ga naar jensen.nl en steun het echte geluid.
Dangerous man in the world.
Hello, man.
Is this the most dangerous man in the world having his breakfast?
Nice to meet you.
Yeah, nice to meet you. It's so lovely to meet you.
He's bigger than me.
Welkom, strijders voor onze vrijheid en onze rechten. Dit is de Jensen Roadshow 2024. Zonder jullie financiële steun hadden we dit nooit kunnen doen. Steun ons als je dit waardeert. Ga naar jensen.nl.
Ik ben op de Isle of Wight, een eiland in het zuiden van Engeland. Ik ga op bezoek bij een man die hier eigenlijk opgesloten zit. Verbannen uit meer dan 30 landen. Hij is een vreedzame, 72-jarige man die nooit gearresteerd is geweest, nooit zijn er problemen geweest na een van zijn lezingen, en van racistische of antisemitische uitlatingen, daar zijn geen bewijzen voor. En toch wordt hij van dit alles vals beschuldigd en gestraft door overheden wereldwijd. David Icke was ooit professioneel voetballer. Daarna sportjournalist bij de BBC.
Good evening. Liverpool looks certain to celebrate their 13th league championship.
En zette hij zich kortstondig in als woordvoerder van de Groene Partij in Engeland. Door al zijn ervaringen in met name de mediawereld en de politiek raakte hij compleet gedesillusioneerd over hoe de wereld echt in elkaar steekt. Maar in plaats van in dat gevoel te blijven hangen, ging hij op een diepe zoektocht met de vraag waarom de wereld en mensen zoveel kwaad te verdragen krijgen. Die zoektocht bracht hem tot diepe, diepe inzichten. Hij begon erachter te komen door tientallen jaren met veel mensen te spreken hoe we met z'n allen gemanipuleerd worden, en hij kwam er ook achter wie hier verantwoordelijk voor zijn. David begon met het uitdragen van zijn angstige bevindingen en inzichten, maar werd natuurlijk compleet belachelijk gemaakt door het establishment, de instituten en natuurlijk de waardeloze mainstream media.
You know the best way of removing negativity is to laugh and be joyous. So I'm delighted that there's so much laughter in the audience tonight.
But no,
but just let me say this.
They're laughing at you. They're not laughing with you.
Fine.
Tientallen jaren achtervolgde dit interview hem. Hij kon de straat niet op zonder uitgelachen te worden. Maar hij zette door, want hij zag snel dat het 5 voor 12 is en dat we afstevenen op een voor mensen dystopische wereld als de griezels het doel van hun plan bereiken. David weet hoe het zit. En het bewijs daarvoor is duidelijk te vinden. Hoe kon hij anders 25 jaar geleden dit al voorspellen?
This is the time when this network of interbreeding bloodlines wants to bring in its global fascist structure of a world government to which nation states would be administrative units, of a world central bank and a world currency, a currency that wouldn't be cash, it would be merely electronic, for which there are fundamental implications for human freedom. And also the World Army, which is designed to be NATO, expanding and expanding as it is now, of course, to become the fully fledged World Army, World Police Force. And underpinning that little lot is designed to be a microchip population, in which we are microchipped with our financial details, our medical details, etc., etc. And that would allow not only electronic tagging, people knowing where we are all the time, it would allow the external manipulation through this electronic means of our mental and emotional processes.
Door zijn onderzoek komt David geheimen aantonen die de mensen in de schaduw niet willen dat de mensheid hier collectief achterkomen. Want dan is het voor de griezels game over.
Where the conspiracy comes in is in three ways. One, manipulating and conspiring to remove those people and organizations that are a threat to that agenda becoming reality, making sure they don't get an opportunity to speak and say what's going on. Two, conspiring to put into positions of power politicians and bankers and stuff that will make that agenda become reality. And three, conspiring to create problems in the world which through problem, reaction, solution will get the public to allow or even demand that your agenda becomes reality. The conspiracies relate to making the agenda happen. The agenda is at the heart of what's going on.
2 jaar geleden werd David uitgenodigd om te spreken op een vredesrally in Amsterdam. En dat mocht natuurlijk niet. Geheimen moeten geheimen blijven. De mensheid moet onwetend gehouden worden. Dus straf je de boodschapper van de waarheid.
De Britse complotdenker David Icke mag 2 jaar lang de meeste EU-landen niet in, omdat zijn komst tot veel spanningen en onrust zou kunnen leiden.
De laatste 2 afleveringen van mijn roadshow zijn mijn gesprek met David Icke, the most dangerous man in the world. En oh ja, er zat een prachtige vlek op mijn shirt. Het resultaat van weken non-stop on the road zijn met een kleine koffer. Je kunt je natuurlijk op de vlek focussen of je kunt luisteren naar wat er gezegd wordt. Dat zal weer veel over jou zeggen.
Isle of Wight, David.
Isle of Wight.
Isle of Wight, you're from Leicester, but early 80s you settled here. Why?
Oh, I did, because I fell in love with the Isle of Wight in the 1950s.
Yeah.
Because I remember playing Isle of Wight ferries in the paddling pool at infant school.
Uh-huh.
They had a little rubber boat, and I used to have one side of the paddling pool was ride. And one of them was Portsmouth over there, and I used to have the ferry going across. As a little kid in infant school, I fell in love with the place. And when I was a kid, I loved steam trains. Well, I still do.
Okay.
And the Isle of Wight was as near to Thomas the Tank Engine land you'll ever see, because all the little tank engines were the same design. They were all named after places on the island, so they all had names. And I just fell in love. They used to see the pier in the distance there.
Yeah.
They used to go up the pier to meet the ferries, and I just fell in love with it. And so the first time when I worked at the BBC in the early 1980s, I started doing outside broadcasts where I'd go to a place and I'd do a week of programs, and then until the next one, I'd be off. And in short, that gave me the opportunity to come and live here. Because I didn't have to be in London every day.
Yeah.
And I've lived here ever since. Pretty much.
Yeah, so long, long personal history in a way. Memories from childhood never any inkling or never any desire to live somewhere else?
Not really. I mean, I spend quite a lot of time up in Derby now, Derbyshire, because that's where my sons have got a media operation called Iconic.
Yes.
But
and great guys, by the way. I don't know them, but from what I see,
they are great guys.
You've done a good job as a father to raise. I mean, the two children that I, you know, see on my computer.
Yeah,
but they are so really awake, not the fake awake.
Yeah, listen. Yeah, and they've they've raised themselves really. Because the only interesting thing is that I never push this stuff on them at all, because
right.
I don't believe in that. I think that, you know, children, young people should develop their own characters in their own way.
Yeah.
And you protect them and you can guide them here and there, but they must come to their own conclusions. You know, it's kind of funny in it when you think that if you're born in, I don't know, India or in a Hindu family background, you've become a Hindu. If you're born in the Middle East or whatever, in a Muslim family background, you become a Muslim. In the southern states of America, you become a Christian. So what that tells you is it ain't natural in terms of you've developed that. What's happened is that's all you've known. It's how you've been brought up to believe, you know. And I don't think that. I personally think that's a form of child abuse. I think children ought to be allowed to come to their own conclusions. And the boys came to the conclusion that the world is not like they thought it was, or people are told it was, and they're now really basically doing the same as I'm doing now.
Yeah, it's amazing, but that is amazing, because it would be easy to get off that path and follow, you know, whatever society and. But no, but a very strong.
They've been encouraged to be honest,
yeah,
and to be determined,
yeah.
You know, I was a goalkeeper. I played professional football as a goalkeeper. Gareth, my son, was the England beach soccer goalkeeper. Jamie had trials at Manchester United. Aston Villa, and he played for Portsmouth Football Club youth set up for years. And it's a wonderful way, because sport, you have ups and downs, emotional ups and downs in life, and they can be, you know, days apart or weeks apart or months apart, whatever. But in sport, it's concentrated. You can have a real high in a football game and a big low within literally seconds of each other, possibly, certainly minutes. And if you use it right, you can start to treat those emotional highs and lows as twin imposters and get control of your emotions like that. And you can get tremendous life experience from playing sport in such a concentrated way. And so
focus, like a focus.
Yeah, and also discipline. You know, you get out what you put in. You know,
and in your daughter who passed away recently, was she also of the same?
Yes, she was. Absolutely, she was. Kerry, she didn't like the limelight.
No.
So she did it quietly, but during COVID. She was the leading light of the, if you like, the resistance on the Isle of Wight.
Really?
Yeah, they used to have big meetings of people. They were big eventually, on the beach just over there. You know, they had that phenomenon of stand in the park. You know, where people just came and stood and just protested in that way by refusing to do what they were told, like stay at home. And she was orchestrating all of that. And she was again a sportswoman because I mean she eventually discovered boys and it disappeared. But when she was a teenager, she was a phenomenal runner.
Mm.
Yeah, she. I mean, I'm sure that Kerry, with her build and everything, could have been could have been in the Olympics. Really, she was that good. But she just didn't want to do it anymore. She broke the Isle of Wight. Cross-country record by 25 seconds in one race. She broke the Hampshire, the whole big county and the mainland county, 1,500 meters record by 8 seconds. She was phenomenal. But then she found boys.
Then she found boys. Ruined it all.
Yeah.
Hey, and but she was the light of the Isle of Wight during COVID.
She was.
So that's three out of three.
Yeah. Because, I mean, one of the things that I've encouraged my children to be is their own self.
Yeah.
Their own unique self, not what society tells them they should be, but who they are, what they are. Not hide your uniqueness, celebrate it, you know? Because, you know, I have this philosophy that we're all expressions of one consciousness. Yes, but we're unique expressions. I mean, people think that when you say we're all one consciousness, it's like you're just a blob. No, you're a unique expression of that consciousness. You're a unique expression of your multiple experiences that have got you to where you are. And therefore, to celebrate uniqueness is to celebrate the unity of everything as well. Same thing.
I would say there are no two people alike.
No.
Of the billions on this planet, no two people alike. It's the same as that you will never get to know somebody 100%, even your children or your partner or whatever, because we are so complex.
Yeah.
We are so individual. You never know somebody. Oh, I know my son. I know God. No, you don't.
No. Do you even know yourself? Really?
Yeah. Do you know yourself? But that's the point, isn't it?
But you know, if you look at tyranny. Whether it's communist tyranny, fascist tyranny, what any kind of tyranny, what's it looking for? It's looking for uniformity. It's looking for it to try to make everyone the same. And the more you celebrate your uniqueness and the spontaneous nature of that uniqueness, you are by that very nature resisting tyranny, because tyranny. Tyranny must have central control, and for central control, it must have uniformity. And so it wants people. You know, you say everyone's an individual and unique, yes, but they're trying to get everyone the same. They're trying to push people into the same mentality, and the reason that they want to connect the human brain to artificial intelligence. Thank you, Mr. Musk.
I see a rocket going up.
Yes.
Shall we launch one later today?
Yeah.
Let's get permission without working for NASA or working for the government.
Can Elon Musk be on it? Is that all right? But no.
I think he's left the planet already, to be honest.
So you have this need for uniformity, and the reason they want this AI. What is basically a hive mind, where they are dictating your thoughts via AI, is because they want this uniformity. They have to have uniformity. So how do we respond to that? Well, we express our uniqueness.
That's it.
You know. It's great when there's no one else like you, isn't it?
It's fantastic. It's fantastic. I don't want to be like somebody else.
No.
And this is how they constantly trick people into thinking, no, don't do it for yourself, do it for others. But that others thing is created, right? It's created, and that causes the uniformity, and that's why we follow and we feel like we have to follow, because they play with this, and now you'll tell us later, but they play with this, and now they want to take it to the next technological level, but they've already played with this so much, but this should be followed.
The thing about expressing your uniqueness is it doesn't mean you don't support each other.
No.
It doesn't mean you don't look after each other. It just means that the way you live your life is you and not some blob uniform way of doing it, you know? But, you know, it's like that's what they're looking for. They're looking for a uniformity of mind, of perception. Because that's what they're after. They're after human perception, and they want that to be uniform. So if you say, why do people behave as they do? They behave as they do because they perceive as they do. That's why they act as they do, because of their perception. And then you say, well, where do they get the perception from? Well, information received. Okay, so where do they get that from? Education system, media, all these sources of authoritarian and authority information sources, and of course part of that is censorship, so that you only receive what they want you to receive in terms of information. Thus, your perception becomes uniform. Thus, your behavior becomes uniform. If you censor, you're making that happen. You're making sure that people only hear one narrative, thus one perception, thus one behavior. All I'm saying is, you know, let's have all information out there, all information available, and let people uniquely decide what they make of it.
That's it.
And I have a simple philosophy. Do what you like,
yeah,
so long as you don't impose it on anyone else.
That's it.
You know,
I think we need to move. This is not the best shot, looking at toilets.
Yeah.
But we'll leave this in, by the way.
Yeah.
We've been standing in front of toilets.
Oh, are we? Toilets are very useful.
They are very useful. And it's still a great public service.
Yeah. In fact, they're essential if you want to wee, like.
Yeah.
It's this uniformity of perception that people like me and you are pushing back on.
Yeah.
And saying, hey, come on, be you, not what the system
yeah.
tells you to be, you know?
Yeah, and they do it very well to manipulate people just by instilling fear into everybody. Fear, 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 fear. Because then people start to feel alone. And they reach out and they think if we all collectively think alike, do alike, then yeah. we'll be safe.
Yeah, safe.
Safe. Well, fear, safety, fear, safety, fear. David, can I share a story with you about yesterday?
Yep.
I was in the pub.
Right.
I was down the pub.
You surprise me. I never would have believed it.
Yeah, no, you wouldn't. I was in the pub. And I noticed something that here. I mean, this is basically is right. It should be like a quaint English town, village, seaside town.
Yeah.
So I go down the pub. I go down the pub. I say it right. Eh? I go down the pub.
Yeah, down the pub.
Down the pub. So what do I see? Security guards outside.
Really?
Every pub I passed by, security. And I said to one, I think it was a girl, I said to her, I asked her, I'm not 100% sure, but so I
yeah.
said to her, I
well,
said,
it is more difficult these days.
Is this really necessary? Oh yeah. 2 years ago I was glassed. I said, 2 years ago you were glassed? Yeah, because I got into to try to interrupt a fight and I was glassed. I got a glass in my. I said, but everywhere there's security. So then I go to the Crown. It was the Crown, right? The Crown, which is on the corner. So there's the bouncer. One of us had a bag. He searched the bag to get into the pub. And, you know, I've seen this once before in my life. That was in Australia, the horrible, horrible Australia. It was in Brisbane, the Gold Coast. It's like when you go to a pub or a bar, it's like you go through security at the airport.
Yeah.
They take your picture, they store everything. But here on this in this small town, people are so afraid that something nasty is going to happen. They now have, and it's always the dumbest guy in the gym who does the security. You know, the dumb guy and who takes pride and who loves to show how powerful he is to the people. But I mean, I that's just sort of shocking. The pub is a public house. This is the way it should be, so open, it should be so free, it should be where you talk. But now security, because everybody is afraid something could happen.
Yeah, well, you know, the one of the biggest ways of that people are controlled is to change and or dictate the normal, what is normal. So you had after COVID the new normal, right? So what they did was move the normal. And if your normal is, for instance, that there's a you know, a demon under every bed, and what's going to happen now? I've got to be protected. Then that normal will accept what you've just described, because it's normal. And this is the other thing, is that once you've moved the normal, older people who have experienced the previous normal can see it's changed. young people are born into the new normal. And to them, this is how things are. This is what life is. They have no radar comparison with what it used to be like. So, you know, I was born in 1952. And the world that we live in now was completely different. So I can see the change. But if someone's born in the last few years, this is their normal. So and once you've dictated the normal, you then dictate what's considered not normal. So during COVID, it wasn't normal not to wear a mask.
Yeah.
So and also we have this thing called the paranormal, which is what I write a lot about. The paranormal, they call it the paranormal because it's different to the perceived normal. So what is considered far out, you know, people talk about me, this always talks about a lot of far out things. But far out from what? Is it far out or is it just far out from the perception of the normal, which is given to us by science and education and medicine and stuff? And this uniformity we're talking about is a uniform perception around this normal, which is movable, as we saw during COVID. And what they're moving the normal towards is more and more authoritarianism, more and more censorship, more and more minute-by-minute control of what people can do, say, and how they live their lives. So the infusion of the normal is fundamental to everything that goes on. And you're going to see the normal move. The normal's moving to, well, the new normal is we have connections to the brain through artificial intelligence. At which point the artificial intelligence becomes the human mind. And instead of you having thoughts and conclusions, which you come to through process of information, you will get them direct handed to you. This is what you think en masse. This is the hive mind I've been warning about. So that movement of that normal is happening all the time.
And through your research that you've done over decades, you were able to call this, I mean, in the 90s, that this was the plan. And now we see it happening with the chipped, the mind chips. It all came true, what you did through research. And I always emphasize when I talk about you that apart from, obviously, you have intuitive, spiritual insights and all that, but basically you are a researcher.
Yeah.
And you are the real journalist and who looks at the documents and you can see the and talks to people and then you find out the plans. And this you talked about in the early 90s.
Yeah, well, you know, what I say to people is one of the reasons that I say, look, I wrote this all these years ago. I said this and said this was coming. It's not to say, oh, look at me, look how good I am. What I'm saying to people is, look, how did I freaking know?
Yes.
And the reason I knew is because it's a plan.
Yes.
And so what this is how it works.
This is so important to point out because I see those tweets of yours and I know how people are going to react. Oh, he feels disgruntled. He feels he needs attention. That is not it. It's exactly this point. How did you know? Because it's a plan and you saw the plan. You spoke to people about the plan. You know everything. You did the research. You spoke to people who confirmed it and you've seen it come true every step of the way until this moment.
Yeah. And
Sorry.
And how,
Dave.
How is that? Because, you know, we live in apparently one world, but we live in two. There's the world of what I call the global cult, which is a global network of secret societies, fiercely compartmentalized. So most of the people in them don't even know the real big picture. And through this secret society network, information, advanced information, at the inner core is passed on through the generations and it's isolated in that away from the population. They don't want the population to know what they know. And at the same time, you know, this information is A, where they're taking the world and why, and also the nature of reality itself, which they don't want us to know. And the same cult, if you do the research, has been behind the creation of the education system. They own the global media. They own medicine through things like the World Health Organization. They own the corporations. And through those the control of those sources of information, they keep the population, the target population, dumbed down and ignorant of what they know. So people like me are looking at what they know, uncovering what they know, and passing it over to the people in the population that's supposed to be kept from that. And what then happens is, because of the chasm of difference between the perceptions of most of the population because of this and the cult, is and what they're doing and how they're doing it and where they're taking us, is so such a chasm that you get, "You're mad, mate. Yeah. What are you talking about? They'll never do that. You're mad. They can't do that. That's impossible." Yeah. And what it is, what is the major form of control? The few know this advanced information, and the target population does not. And all the censorship that we're seeing is to stop this process of telling people what they know and what they're doing.
And making sure people's consciousness becomes more narrow and narrow, 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 instead of open.
Yeah, because, you know, during COVID, because so much more was put on public display, a lot of people started to see the world wasn't like they thought it was. And so their minds start to expand into other possibilities of what's going on. Because one of the greatest ways that people are controlled is to control their perception of the possible, right? So if you can squeeze their perception of the possible, what's possible, whether it's technological possibility or of any other kind, then they are going to be like reflex action, saying, "That's not possible. They couldn't do that. You know, the technology doesn't exist." But the more you open your mind to other possibilities and other explanations, the more you start to see that actually what you thought was impossible was not, and it's actually happening. So what they've done after COVID, when this expansion of consciousness to greater and greater awareness, that movement had started, is they've moved in to what we call the alternative media. And they put people in there who know what they're doing, and lots of people that don't, but they are of a certain mentality, they're of a certain focus on right-wing politics and religion, and they're of a certain lack of knowledge of the big picture. And what they've done is that they've used the algorithms to give a massive exposure. And what's happened is people's expansion of awareness into greater and greater knowledge and greater and greater understanding of the big picture, it's been hijacked in such a big way, and it's been regressed back into left-right politics.
It's true.
So right-wing politics, good. Left-wing politics, bad. When actually...
Trump is the savior.
Yeah, Trump is the savior. Well, you know...
It's such a good point that they hijacked once again, because they always need to stop the expansion of consciousness.
Exactly.
They always need to stop that. How do they do it? Media is so important. So you put all these Russell Brands in there, and Candace Owens, who is a good but also bad. I mean, it's all these people, and people think, "Oh, that's the information we need right now," and it's the same.
Yeah.
Shit.
And this is the thing. They want you to externalize your power.
Yeah.
You know, apparently at the last election, something like 70 odd million people voted for Trump in America. Okay. And what they did was, 70 million people, we're going to give our power to Trump, this one bloke, or we're going to give it to Biden, this one bloke. And so what happens then for the next four years in America, 4 or 5 years in other places, that person is dictating what happens in the world and the people around him. Then you have something called an election, and you then have the choice, at least in theory, to vote for someone else. And so you then vote for them, and they take your power, and they... then dictate things for the next 4 or 5 years. And people are basically impotent in that period. Now, if you take those 70 million people that voted for Trump in America, and they said, we're not going to cooperate with our own enslavement, what would that do? You know, 70 million people saying, we're not cooperating with our own enslavement. To take COVID, 70 million people saying, we're not going to wear a mask, it's stupid, it's ridiculous. You're having us on, we know you're having us on, so we're not doing it. No, we're not going to social distance because, you know, basically there is no bloody virus, you've made it up. Oh, and no, we're not having the jab, which is actually the real bioweapon to, for many, many reasons we might get into. We're not going to do that. There'd have been no COVID.
No.
It would not have been enforceable. But this is the point. And again, we come back to perception. There's three types of people. Two of them are responsible for every tyranny in history. And the third lot have brought an end to every tyranny in history. Okay, group number one are those people that just do what they're told without question, believe what authority says without question, and they just do it. They're like press enter people, I call them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got the second group that actually doesn't really want to do it, but they're frightened of the consequences of not doing it. And those two groups have been responsible for every tyranny in history because tyrants never impose tyranny because there's never enough of them. Tyranny is imposed by the population acquiescing to tyranny, either through unquestioning obedience or fear of not doing so. And then you've got the third group, which is people like you and me, who say, I can see what you're doing, I can see where this is going, and I ain't cooperating with you.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to wear a mask. I'm not going to avoid people during COVID because you don't frighten me. If you want to avoid me, be my guest. I ain't avoiding you. And I know I'm not having your bloody jab because I know what it's there for, what it's meant to do and the impact it's meant to have. But I'm not doing it. I mean, how many people took the jab and didn't want it?
So many. I at the time knew it was not the right thing to do, but they acquiesced.
Yeah. You know, I tell you a story in this country. They said that people working in care homes, you know, looking after old people and stuff, if they didn't have the jab by a certain point, then they were going to get fired.
Yeah.
And so lots of them had the jab so they wouldn't get fired. They then gave the same ultimatum later, months later, to people who work for the National Health Service in Britain, right? That you're going to get fired after this date if you don't have the jab. And they got closer to the date, and so many people were not having it, they dropped it.
That's it.
They had to.
So that's what you're saying. If you say no, it stops.
If you say no in unity, this power of tyranny has no power.
Do you know what I love what you say about these people who are in charge, who are creating this? And you are so correct. I've seen this with like the higher level of business, those people, you know, the richest people I know, I've met in my life. But you say it also about the creeps who create all this clown show. They are frightened. I've noticed that with the richest people I've met in my life, you think they'd be so secure, they'd think they'd be so happy, you know, they are frightened. And you see it in their eyes. They are like, you know, they're hiding behind fences, they're hiding behind everything. And you say that about all those people, the big financial powers and all the creeps.
Yeah, because... Little boys in short trousers, yeah. You see, these people's control, thus power, comes from keeping the population in ignorance and acquiescence.
Yeah.
Their terror comes from that stopping,
yes,
that not happening, because then they know their power's gone. So what they do is they strut around, whether it's your Gateses or your Schwabs and people, they strut around as, you know, we're the omnipotent power. And I look at them and I think, are you trying to convince me or are you trying to convince your bloody self? Because if you look at anyone who is like arrogant and psychopathic and a control freak, that's a better way of describing it, a control freak, what you're looking at is a deeply insecure person. Because secure people don't want to control everything. But they know they have to control everything to keep people in this state of ignorance, which allows them to be controllable. And so, you know, if you look at the way this whole manipulation works, this conspiracy works, if you are a secure person and you are dealing with a football match, you're quite happy to control one team and then have a contest with the other team, right? You don't have a problem with that. And what happens, happens. These people, they would go absolutely apeshit at the very thought of what I've just described. What they would have to do in a football match, and this is why the world is as it is, they'd have to control Team A, Team B, and the referee.
Yeah.
They would have to know what the score was going to be before the game started. And that's why when you look and you do the research, you find that all these different people who appear to be even opposing each other in the public arena and giving people choice, ultimately the same hands controlling all of them. They're just controlling both teams so they know how what the outcome's going to be.
They have to have a guaranteed outcome.
Yeah.
And that's how you do it. You cover all sides, you own everything yourself, so then you have the guaranteed outcome.
And of course, the controlling the human mind via AI gives you a guaranteed outcome, because you are guaranteed the perception that you are dictating people to have.
You're 100% controlled.
Yeah, and you know, the outcome has to be known as much as they can possibly do it, because what they are terrified of is states of flux. Any situation where the outcome is not callable, right? They go into a frenzy. They can't stand that because they're incredibly insecure. And some of them are not very bloody bright either. I mean, have you seen Bill Gates?
Yeah, I know. This is interesting, but let's walk again. Let's go find a place to sit.
Morgen zie je deel 2 van mijn gesprek met David Icke. En dan gaan we echt de diepte in. Heel diep. Laat het allemaal even op je inwerken, terwijl we uitkijken op de zee van de Isle of Wight. De zee die niet manipuleert. Want de zee is de waarheid.
Jaar.
Dames en heren, daar zijn we weer. In een nieuwe setting, maar met dezelfde boodschap en vrijheid.
Compleet onafhankelijk.
Dit is de enige plek waar je de echte vrijheid en waar uiteindelijk het echte nieuws te vinden is.
Al 5 jaar op zoek naar de waarheid.
Nooit als er zoiets groots gebeurt, als je voelt dat er iets groots op je afkomt. Niet dat eerste narratief.
Ja, dat zeg je heel vaak.
Ik zeg dat niet dat eerste narratief. Wacht even af en probeer in het nu te blijven leven. En probeer daar te blijven staan.
Al 5 jaar op het scherpst van de snede.
Your children, folks, if you've let them, have been injected with a molecule. And I've got worse for you, but for which they had so little safety data, you would probably not allow a pet of yours to be injected.
Al 5 jaar verzet tegen het kwaad.
Ze hebben dezelfde vijand en ze spelen ons tegen elkaar uit. Als mensen dat gaan zien, het is game over voor die gasten.
Al 5 jaar met de rug kaarsrecht.
Ik geloof nog steeds dat onze beste tijden nog voor ons liggen.
Al 5 jaar met een lach.
Ik stop even mijn speech terug in mijn ik haat Klaus Schwab tasje.
al 5 jaar strijdend voor onze vrijheid en onze rechten. We hebben financiële support nodig om onafhankelijk door te gaan. Steun ons voor de vrijheid van het vrije woord. Ga naar jensen.nl. Het vrije geluid laat zich niet censureren.